Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, the Taoiseach to Simon Harris has warned the impact of 30% tariffs would be extraordinary. Speaking this morning, the Minister for Foreign Affairs said the country faces a moment of economic challenge and that the country has to pull together, work together, he said, to find a way through this. The Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, is expected to bring figures to Cabinet showing that current expenditure is up 6.5%. compared to the first 6 months of 2024. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. And Dan is also a columnist with The Currency. But first, Pat Leahy is with us, Irish Times political editor. Pat, good morning to you. Will you tell us about these warnings we're hearing? Cabinet is going to hear them too today, from the Taoiseach in particular, and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Micheál Hahn on your own station was reporting earlier a few remarks by Simon Harris as he was going into government buildings this morning ahead of the cabinet meeting. And he was talking about a moment of major economic challenge and talking about how we're all going to have to pull together in the hours and days ahead. And really, that is language that is kind of reminiscent of the pandemic. Even, God forbid, the financial crisis of a decade and a half earlier. So I think it gives you an indication of, you know, just how seriously the prospect of these 30% tariffs are being treated in government. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, yesterday, I think Mr. Harris, or over the weekend, Mr. Harris was, you know, talking about it being perhaps a negotiating tactic on the part of Donald Trump. And I think that is probably the prevailing view, both within government and in Brussels. But given the unpredictability of the president and his administration, you've got to take seriously the prospect of 30% tariffs from August the 1st. And so I think what is going on now, and I'm sure Dan can speak to this, is a sort of a rapid evaluation of what that would mean economically and how both the EU and this country would, in the first case, I suppose, respond to those tariffs. And we would probably see certainly counter tariffs by the EU, and that raises the prospect of further escalation, but also then to deal with the domestic economic fallout from layoffs and so forth.
That's the big one, isn't it? I mean, this is all clearly feeding into the narrative now about budget 2026. And we know, and we've heard this so many times, there won't be any cost of living package this year. But it would seem, would you agree, that sentiment at government level is now more pessimistic than it had been up to this point?
Very much so. And I think that has been, I think that the skies have been darkening in that respect in recent weeks and months within government. It's something that in private conversations I hear regularly from people involved in the budget making process. And the response from that within government is to look forward to a budget, I think, that will be a lot less generous in giveaway terms than the last three budgets that we have, that we've seen. Government leaders have repeatedly said that there will be no package of one-off measures this year. People will remember we've had these one-off measures, essentially cash giveaways, mm-hmm. in the last three budgets. We're told that those are not going to happen. Now, I do think that there will be significant political pressure for that position to be revisited before the budget. But certainly, if there is any package, I would envisage that it is an awful lot less. And we're also going to see, I think, a sharp decline in the growth in current spending that we've seen in recent years. That has been up 8-9% a year. I think that is likely to come down to somewhere near 5%. And, you know, people can talk about those numbers and they sound sort of abstract, but what they mean is less money available to the government for increasing welfare rates, reducing taxes and so forth.
Well, what it means in reality is that everybody in the country now is going to sharply perhaps feel the impact of increases in inflation over the last couple of years. We've been cushioned from that blow.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the government would make the point, Anna, correct, that the rate of inflation has come down. But that's, you know, it was at 10% at one stage. It's down to below 2% now. But as people won't need reminding, prices have not come down. The rate at which they are going up has certainly abated, and there have been wage increases and so forth in the economy. But the prices haven't come down. You talk to politicians in all parties who are, you know, in daily, weekly contact with their constituents. They say it is still one of the big issues with ordinary people. But I think that that big bump, which was worth, you know, €1,000 more in many cases to people over the last couple of years, the government is pretty determined, I think, that that's not going to happen this year.
All right, well, let's bring in Dan Pat. Stay with us if you can. Dan O'Brien, as I say, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. Dan, how exposed is Ireland in all of this when we think about the potential for 30% tariffs? Are we the European country that will suffer the most if Donald Trump goes ahead with this one?
That very much depends on whether pharmaceuticals are included or not. But if we look at the amount per man, woman and child that we ship across the Atlantic to the United States, it's higher than any other country I can find in the world, not just in Europe. Germany, a famously big exporter to America, but also Canada and Mexico. So on a per person basis, our exports to the United States are extremely high, which means we're exposed. But Claire, if I may, just by some reassurance, I know there's been a bit of talk about how serious this could be, and it is extremely serious, going back to 2008 and the financial crisis. Financial crises are like a heart attack for an economy. They are very rapid onset, and they affect nearly every part of the economy. Now, what we're seeing here, again, is very serious, but it will not affect every single part of the economy. It will affect manufacturers that produce goods for the American market. That's very significant. It could lead to job losses that could spread wider into the economy. But it's not of the magnitude of a financial crisis that would be akin to a heart attack for the entire economy. Mm-hmm. So I think we just have some reassurance that we're not facing into a kind of 2008 situation. We're facing into much slower burn sort of sickness rather than the shock of 2008.
Still not great though, Dan. The way you describe it, you know, it mightn't be a heart attack, but it could be something just as serious, but it plays out over a longer period of time.
Indeed. And I think, you know, to be very honest with people, the difficulty with this situation is not just the 30% tariff, which, of course, may not happen. Mm-hmm. The US president is not, you know, is known for changing his mind, and it could end settle at the 10% that companies are already trying to grapple with now. But equally, the Europeans are adamant that they have to respond, or they will show signs of weaknesses and Trump will come back for more. So the risk is that we get into a tit for tat escalation where Europe imposes measures on American companies and goods. For example, they're talking about putting tariffs on Boeing products. So Boeing, that would mean ultimately European consumers will have to pay more for the flights. Not good for us, but it's done as a way of inflicting pain on the US. So we get into this cycle of both sides trying to inflict pain on each other. Not good for anyone, mm-hmm. but that's the kind of economic war we're potentially facing. It won't be good for anyone. It'll be particularly bad for Ireland, given that we are so integrated into both the European and the US economies.
Yeah, I know Donald Trump is known to flip-flop, and we all know that, and there is that nickname Taco Trump always chickens out. He did say overnight, though, I heard this morning, that this is the deal. As far as he's concerned, the letters that he has sent out, that represents the deal. But clearly the EU sees that there is still room for negotiation.
Well, in trade negotiations, chipping away is the right thing to do. But could I also pick up on this, the taco thing that he always chickens out? This man has bombed Iran. Now, this is one of the most significant geopolitical events in a very long time.
Yeah.
He did not chicken out of bombing a powerful country. He's also increased tariffs just specifically on the economics of it. He has brought tariff levels in the United States back to the 1930s. This is already, even if we don't, consider if nothing further happens, the transformation in the tariff wall around the United States economy has been like nothing we've seen in living memory. So this guy sometimes pulls back, tactical retreats, pressure, but this guy does not always chicken out. That's a fact.
Are his people feeling the impact, though, of that wall of tariffs yet?
Well, it did, encouraging, I suppose, from our perspective, immediately after April 2nd, when the Liberation Day, the first announcement of all of this, financial markets tanked. It became more difficult for the American government to borrow. Consumers came to believe they were going to get a rapid increase in inflation. All of those things have calmed down. Now, from our perspective, they were a restraining impact on Trump and the administration. They are not there now. Markets are very, very calm. Inflation expectations seem to have come down. The economy in the US has stabilized. It doesn't look like it's going imminently into recession. So when in terms of looking at going further, he's not seeing the sort of things that were to be seen in the days, weeks after April 2nd, which may embolden him to go further and more radical towards that 30%.
I want to ask you both, and Pat, I'll start with you, about Ireland's attempts now to diversify, because we are going to hear today, aren't we, plans for these large-scale trade missions to Canada, similar missions later on in the year to China and India. So we are looking beyond the States very much so now.
Yeah, and I think that's probably part of a broader move across Europe at the most recent European summit, though it wasn't included in the formal conclusions. Ursula von der Leyen at the final press conference in the early hours of Friday morning confirmed that she had raised this plan or an idea for essentially a new WTO that didn't involve the United States. So free trading arrangements between Europe and the major economies of Asia. Now, to say that wasn't included in the final conclusions, and some people thought it was a fairly kindly, thinly disguised attempt to influence the negotiations between the EU and the US. But it stands to reason, I guess, that if the US is becoming harder to trade with, then countries and companies will look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, free trade with China, free trade agreement or enhanced trade with China is not going to replace the US market overnight. But I guess that it's the obvious and in some respects the inevitable response of trading with the US becoming more difficult.
Okay, well, Dan, clearly there is potential in those markets, but as Pat has suggested there, they're not going to replace the might of the United States market for us.
No, absolutely not. Not even in the medium term. There are, of course, opportunities elsewhere, particularly in our own single market. Indigenous companies in particular have tended still to focus more on English-speaking markets than the continental markets, despite having no exchange rate risk in most cases and being in a single market. So I definitely see that the safest option is to focus on Europe. There are other opportunities in the world, but I would caution against China. The world is changing. There is now effectively a cold war between China and the United States. Europe will have to pick sides. It's very clear that we are closer in values and interests to the United States, even under Trump, than we are to communist totalitarian China. So I'd be very, very cautious of seeking to get closer to China, becoming even more dependent on China in a world of geopolitical fragmentation, new cold war. Mm-hmm. So I'd be very cautious about the China piece.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. Pat, I just want to come back to you on another matter relating to the presidency, because Catherine Connolly is going to address the Labour Party today. But we are hearing that the feelings towards her potentially supporting her candidacy, that those feelings are mixed.
I think mixed is a fair way to describe them. As per the account I received last week on it, that Labour Party leader Ivana Bacik seems quite open to the prospect of Catherine Connolly's candidacy, but there are others within Labour who nurture feelings that are less warm towards the prospective independent candidate. Catherine Connolly was a member of Labour. She split with the party, I think largely over the prospect of being nominated to run as Michael D. Higgins' running mate back before the financial crash. And she then kind of began a new life as an independent, during which she was extremely critical of Labour during the financial crisis, during the Fine Gael Labour government that implemented as part of the bailout that had been agreed by the previous government. And they implemented those very difficult austerity policies. And like many others on the left, she was very, very critical of her former colleagues in the Labour Party. And the scars of that, I think, are still there. On the other hand, Labour doesn't have its own candidate. And some people would say that it's hard to see how Labour could sit on the sidelines, not back a candidate of the left and basically take no part in the election. But on the part of at least some people in Labour, there won't be any great warmth in the campaigning, I can tell you that.
All right, we'll be watching out for the white smoke or otherwise later today. Pat Leahy from the Irish Times and Dan O'Brien, who we heard a little earlier. Thank you both. Now, coming up a little bit later, Dublin's new nighttime mayor will be finding out what he thinks would make the capital a better place. Next, though, weapons for Ukraine, but who's paying the bill?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.